Turn together in Holy Scripture to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Ephesians 6, this is the Word of God. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs, and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother, and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Let's ask God's blessing on the preaching of the word. We thank thee, Father, that thou art a God who speaks, that thou hast spoken to us through the inspired words of Scripture that we have read. And we pray now, speak to us through thy servant who proclaims the gospel, and give us the ears to hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen. The text I call your attention to tonight is the first three verses of Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul first went to Ephesus on his third missionary journey. And he ended up staying there longer than in any other city in the course of his journeys. He stayed there for 3 years, laboring in Ephesus itself and likely in the surrounding area. Ephesus was evidently a growing church, And it was therefore a church that needed to be taught about what the church is and how the church lives. And so Paul wrote this epistle, the theme of which is the church as the body of Christ. And because Paul's a good pastor, as he wrote an epistle to the church about the church, he did not forget about the children. And yet, even though Paul is the one who took pen in hand and wrote these words to the children, it's also right to say that this text is Jesus calling to the children. This is Jesus calling to the children, first of all, because, as we know, it is the Spirit of Jesus Christ that inspired the Apostle Paul as he took pen in hand and wrote these words. But it's Jesus calling to the children also because this is what Jesus himself would have written if the pen was in his hand personally. That makes sense when you consider who Jesus is and how Jesus always behaved himself while he was on the earth. When Jesus was a child living in the house of Joseph and Mary, Jesus obeyed his parents, knowing that this is right. In Luke 2, verse 51, we even read of a time when Jesus' parents were not really behaving very reasonably toward Jesus and were perhaps being a bit overbearing in the way they were dealing with him. And yet, Jesus still, according to Luke 2, verse 51, went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. As a 12-year-old boy, Jesus obeyed his parents. Now, as the risen and ascended Lord of his church, he calls you children here tonight to obey your parents for his sake and in his name. It's important for us to hear this calling of Jesus for a number of reasons. First of all, this calling is a foundational calling. Jesus is not calling the children here to do anything new. He is simply repeating what has always been the calling of children in the covenant according to the law of God. The law says we must love God and we must love our neighbor as ourselves for God's sake. And to children, the law, especially in the fifth commandment, says this is how you love God and this is how you love your neighbor, by honoring and obeying your parents. It's foundational. Second, we need to hear this calling tonight because it is a serious calling. People in the world today do not think much of disobeying and dishonoring parents. In fact, our culture even tends to encourage this. But 2 Timothy 3, verse 2 lists disobeying parents as among those gross sins that indicate that we are living in the last times. Paul writes in 1 Timothy 2:3 that men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. In that long list of gross sins, he lists disobedient to parents as a sign of the last days. And from such, he then goes on to say in verse 5, turn away. It's a serious calling that Jesus gives to children and to the church tonight. And finally, we need to hear this calling because it's not easy. It's not easy. It's not easy for children who are sinners to honor and obey parents who are also sinners. Because it's not easy, it needs to be laid upon us as a calling from the Word of God, a calling from the mouth of the Lord himself, who purchased us with his blood and fills us with his Spirit. So let's hear the calling of Jesus tonight for the children. That's the theme, Jesus calling for the children. First, His calling to the children is to believe in him. Secondly, his calling to the children is to obey your parents. And then finally, his calling to the children is to hope for the blessing. Children, Jesus calling for you tonight from this text, first of all, is to believe in him. I want you children to notice something about these verses that we have as our text tonight from the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, as I pointed out in the introduction, is all about the church. What the book of Ephesians tells us is that the church is like a body with different parts, and Jesus is the head of that body. It goes on to tell us that there is only one church, and this church serves one God, the one God and Father of the Lord Jesus. The book of Ephesians then goes on to tell us about the work of pastors and elders who are called to build up the church. And it tells us about how the members of the church must live as they follow Jesus. But then after it gives all of this instruction about the church, the book of Ephesians begins to talk to specific people in the church. If you look at chapters 5 and chapter 6, Jesus has specific callings for specific people in the church. So in chapter 5, verse 22, Jesus has a calling for wives, the wives in the church. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And then in verse 25, there's a calling that's specifically for husbands in the church. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And then if you look in chapter 6, there's a calling that's specifically for servants, or we could say for people who work at a job. Servants, be obedient to them who are your masters, or who is your boss, according to the flesh. And then a little bit after that, in verse 9, there's a calling specifically for masters, or for the boss at the job. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening. Jesus has something to say to wives. He has something to say to husbands. He has something to say to servants. He has something to say to masters, because wives, husbands, servants, and masters are all members of the Church of Jesus Christ. And Jesus also has something to say to the children. What that means, children, is that Jesus is speaking to you in his word as those who belong to his church. You children are not outsiders who don't really belong to the church and are waiting for some day in the future when you will belong to the church. But you are members of the church of Jesus today. That's why you were baptized when you were just a little baby or a young child. And that's why your parents bring you into the worship service on Sunday to hear the sermons and to sing the songs with the congregation. It's because you are members of the church, children. And the first thing that Jesus always says to members of his church is this: believe in me. Believe in me. So that's the calling that Jesus has for you, children, before his calling is anything else. The calling of Jesus for you children as members of his church is this: believe in me. That's why in verse 1 of our text, you'll notice he doesn't just say, children, obey your parents, period, or children, obey your parents, for this is right, period. But what does he say? He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Obey your parents in the Lord. So who is the Lord? Well, that's obvious. Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the Lord because Jesus is the Son of God who came to live among us humans. Jesus is the Lord because he's the one who defeated sin and death on his cross. Jesus is the Lord because After he defeated sin and death, God lifted him up into heaven to be at his right hand and to rule over all things. Now, when the Bible says, in the Lord, it's talking about something important. In the Lord is the Bible's way of telling us that Jesus is not just the Lord of some people. He's not just the Lord of all of the world as the one who is lifted up to God's right hand. And he's not just the Lord of the church in general, but he's your Lord. He's the Lord of you children who belong to his church. He's the Lord who redeems you from your sins. He's the Lord who by his Spirit lives in you children and sanctifies and blesses you children. And everything you do, therefore, and everything that you think, and all of your behavior must be done in the Lord. In my house, not that long ago, we were reminded that Jesus is the Lord of the children. There's a 3-year-old boy who lives in my house, and he was put to bed, but as it usually goes with this 3-year-old boy, when he's put to bed, he doesn't fall asleep right away, and instead he starts to sing. And he sings very loudly, and the song that he was singing one night is a song that I think especially the kindergartners who go to Heritage will recognize, because I heard you singing it in the program not that long ago. I belong to Jesus. I am not my own. All I am and all I have shall be His alone. Children, if that's your song, if you belong to Jesus, then Jesus is your Lord. And what Jesus says to you children as your Lord, first of all, is this: believe in me. Are you scared at night because it's dark in your room and you can't fall asleep? Jesus says, believe in me. I am the Lord who is with you in the darkness. I am the Lord who keeps watch over you as you sleep through the night. Did you commit a sin and that sin hurt your friend so that he or she doesn't like you anymore and your friendship has been broken? Jesus says, believe in me. I am the Lord who forgives sins and who forgives your sins. I am the Lord who repairs broken friendships. I am the Lord who is your friend, who sticks closer to you than a brother. Believe in me. That's the Lord's calling to you children. So who are the children Jesus speaks to here? Well, we must understand that, first of all, Jesus is speaking already to the littlest of the children. The littlest of the children belong to Jesus as Lord. The littlest of the children are members of the church. That's why we baptize already the littlest of the children. And that's why when Jesus was on earth, he took the littlest of the children. Luke 18 even says he took infants into his hands, into his arms, and blessed them. And Jesus, as the Lord, calls to those littlest children. He calls even to those infants. Think of the way that a mother calls to the little infant in her arms. Now that little infant maybe doesn't understand what his mother is saying to him. And those little infants maybe do not understand exactly what the Lord Jesus is calling to them. And yet, Jesus is the Good Shepherd. And the Good Shepherd has a way of making his voice known to his sheep. And that includes the littlest of the sheep, the lambs. He speaks to them. And the voice of Jesus as the Lord is a voice of power. It's a voice that has the power to bring life, that has the power to comfort even the smallest and tenderest of hearts, and to bring salvation. He calls already to the littlest of the children. And he says, child, believe in me. To you children who are getting a bit older, the Lord is calling to you a bit more directly. And he's calling to you a little bit more directly because you understand what these words mean. Maybe mom or dad has quoted the very words of this text, Ephesians 6, verse 1, to you at a time when you were being naughty and you didn't want to listen to what dad and mom said. So dad and mom said, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Jesus is speaking to you, children who are 4 years old, not quite big enough to go to school yet, but big enough to hear what dad and mom say and to listen. Jesus is speaking to you, children who are in second grade, who are learning how to read and learning how to write in school. Jesus is speaking to you, children who are in middle school, who are older and have little brothers and little sisters who look up to you. And as I go from the littlest and older, maybe some of you are starting to bristle a little bit when we get a little bit older. We don't like to be thought of in the same category as the littlest of children. And there is a difference, you who are preteens or teenagers. You're getting older, you're smarter, you're getting more independent. You don't need to have your hand held all the time. You don't need to be told exactly what to do all the time. But you do still live in the home of your dad and mom. And being older and being more mature and being more independent, you are even more equipped than the littlest children and your little brothers and sisters to understand Jesus' calling to you. And his calling to you, children, from the oldest to the youngest, first of all, is believe in me. As a member of my church, believe in me. This is important because you will never be able to obey your parents and fulfill the rest of the calling of the Lord Jesus to you unless you first see and hear that the Lord calls to you to believe in him. And that's because disobedience to parents and all sin really arises out of three issues that start in our hearts. First, there's the problem of lust. Now, lust is when you want something so bad that you don't care about anything else. You don't care if God says that this is something that you should have or something that you shouldn't have, or this is something you should do or something that you shouldn't do. You don't care if dad and mom have made rules about this or that thing. You just say, "I want it. I want it. I want it because it feels good and I'm going to have it. I want it because it makes me look cool or it makes me feel cool in front of my friends." So whatever dad says, whatever mom says, whatever God says, I'm going to do it anyway. Even if that means breaking the rules outright, or maybe what is more common, sneakily going behind dad and mom's back and doing it that way. There's lust. That's a problem in the heart. Then there's fear. Fear is when you think things will be bad for you if you don't get things to be the way that you want them to be. So you reason this way, "Well, I'm afraid. I'm afraid that the girls at school are not going to like me if I don't have a phone, and if I don't have this particular app on the phone so that I can interact with them socially. Or they're not going to like me if I don't wear these particular kinds of clothes that the other ones are wearing. Or I'm afraid that the boys are going to mock me if I don't know about this show on television or if I don't use these kinds of words. And I'm more afraid," this is really what we're saying in our heads and in our hearts, "I'm more afraid of what those other kids think then I am afraid of dad and mom and what they think and what their rules say. I'm more afraid of what the other kids think even than I am afraid of what God thinks and what God's law says." So there's lust and there's pride. Or there's lust and there's fear, and then there's pride. And pride is when we say, "I know best. I know best. I know best what I want. I know best what's good for me. I know better than dad and mom what's best for me." Dad, Mom were kids a long time ago, years ago. Things have changed. So I'm going to go my own way, and I'm going to do my own thing, even if that means breaking the rules. The Bible makes clear that sin always begins in our hearts. Proverbs 4, verse 23 says, "All the issues of life come out of our hearts." And the scary thing about that is this: what we do and how we behave really shows what we are in our hearts. When we live in rebellion, when we live in disobedience, what we're manifesting is, in here, there's pride. In here, there's fear, fear of man. In here, there's lust, dominating lust. And the only way to counter this, because it's an issue in the heart, is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's because faith counters each one of those points: lust, fear, pride. What faith does, first of all, is it humbles us. Faith humbles us because it shows us the reality of what our sin is and the reality of where it leads. Where does our sin lead? Faith shows us sin leads to death and destruction. Because of my pride and because of the sinful actions, my pride produces what had to happen according to God's counsel. Well, Jesus had to be nailed to a cross. Death had to happen because of my sin. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished, as one hymn puts it. Faith shows us where sin leads and humbles our pride. Faith also answers our fears. If you think it's scary to be rejected by friends at school, how much more scary to be rejected by God? But by faith in Jesus, we know that God accepts us and receives us as His own sons and daughters unconditionally. And if God accepts and receives you, well, who cares what your friends think? And faith feeds our deepest desires. I think this is something that you children probably don't understand yet, and it might take a little while. I think it's something that adults also are continuing to grow in. But when we're children, we're easily impressed. And we're easily impressed by things that flash and flicker. We love cartoons, and we love games, and we love toys, and we think that nothing could ever be as fulfilling as this. And I want this. I want it. I want that cartoon. I want that game. I want that show. But by faith, we understand that Jesus gives us something much deeper, much more lasting, much more important than those things. A show, cartoon lasts 20 minutes. What Jesus gives us is life, eternal life, and the knowledge of the glory of God. And so Jesus calls to you children, and the first thing He says is, "Believe in Me." Don't follow after pride. Don't follow after fear. Don't follow after lust. Believe in Me. And then this: children in the Lord, obey your parents. Now, to obey your parents really is a very simple calling. I think that we understand what this means. And yet, the Word of God addresses it. And so, let's elaborate on that a bit and explain it. What does it mean to obey our parents, children? Well, the first thing it means is this: when your parents call to you to get your attention, you answer them. The word "obey" in this text, in the original language, is a word that refers to answering the door. So think of the way that you act when you're sitting at home and the doorbell rings. What do you do when the doorbell rings or someone knocks on the door? Well, you quick get up and you run to the door and you answer it because you want to see who's there and you want to greet that person. It's a quick response. Now, children, that's usually the first part of the struggle, isn't it? Dad or mom calls your name. Come to the table. It's supper time. Supper's ready. We're all waiting for you. Okay, I will. In just a minute. After I finish doing this or that. After I finish reading this chapter. After I finish this show. What are you really saying? What you're really saying is this. Okay, I will obey. But I will obey when I'm ready to. I will obey when I want to. In fact, I'm going to keep you waiting at the door for a while. That's not really obeying our parents, children. Obeying our parents means that we do what they tell us to do when they tell us to do it. Then obeying your parents means that you do what you're told. And there are all kinds of ways, aren't there, that we like to try to get around doing what we're told. There's the testing. That's when you know very well what you are supposed to do or what you are not supposed to do, because the rules have been made very clear, but you don't really want to, so you cross the line just a little bit to see what happens. And if nothing too bad happens, well, then you cross the line a little bit more and you keep pushing the boundary. What is that? That's testing. What can I get away with before Dad and Mom's patience starts to break? Then there's the complaining. That's when you lift up your voice to let Dad and Mom know what you think about their rules and what you think about what they're calling you to do. I don't want to do that. I don't want to eat those vegetables. I don't like these clothes. That's complaining. And then there's arguing. That's when you start to challenge the reasons for this or that rule in the home. And you say, well, that's not fair. That's not fair. My brother got to go away last night. Why can't I go away? She got to stay up late. Why can't I stay up late? You're too strict, Dad and Mom, with these rules. And what all of this boils down to, the testing, the complaining, the arguing, is this. I don't want to do what you're telling me to do. And if there's any way that I can find to get out of doing it, I'm going to take that way. And that's not obeying your parents. Obeying your parents means you do what you're told to do. Now, that does not mean you may never talk to Dad and Mom about the rules. That does not mean that you may not approach Dad and Mom and ask them for things to be different. You can do that. You may do that. And parents who are wise and parents who love you, they're going to listen to you and they're going to consider what you say, and maybe they will adjust the rules. But in the meantime, when you are told to do something, the Lord calls you to do it. You don't make a scene. You don't try to wiggle your way out of it by arguing and testing and complaining. You do it. You do it. But even here, we have not yet gotten to the root of the matter. What the calling of Jesus for the children is, and this really has to do with all of Jesus' callings for us, well, the calling of Jesus for you children is to love your parents. It's to love your parents. And loving your parents, children, doesn't just mean that you feel a certain nice way about them, especially when they do something that you like, or even just in general. Loving your parents does not just mean that you say nice things to them sometimes, or that when it's Father's Day or Mother's Day, you draw them a picture or buy them a gift. Those are all nice things to do. But loving your parents, this is what the Word of God says, loving your parents means you do what they tell you to do. Loving your parents, according to Jesus, means that you obey your parents. But it means more than that. It means that you honor them. Verse 2, which is simply a quotation of the fifth commandment, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment of the second table of the law, the first commandment with promise. Honoring means more than just doing what your parents tell you to do when they tell you to do it. Honoring means that you do it with a good attitude, an attitude that shows them that you think highly of them. Honoring your father and mother means if you disagree with the rules, you think this way. I think mom might be wrong here. I think dad might be wrong here. But you know what? Dad and mom have been around a lot longer than I have. They have a lot more experience of life than I do. And even though I think they might be wrong, I'm going to listen to them. Maybe, just maybe, I will find out that after all, Dad and Mom were right. Or maybe one day when I'm older and I have my own house and I have my own family, I will do things differently in my home. But for now, I will look up to Mom. I will look up to Dad. I will listen to what they say. I will take the advice that they give to me. I will obey them in the Lord and honor them. The reason children must honor and obey their parents is simple in verse 1. For this is right. In other words, obeying your parents is not just about obeying your parents. It's about obeying God. It's about doing what's right before God. Now, you know that already because that's the way this entire sermon was framed tonight. This is Jesus' calling. This is the Lord's calling to the children. So it's not just me saying this from behind this pulpit, and it's not just the Apostle Paul who wrote these words, and it's not just your parents who tell you that you need to obey them, but Jesus Himself, the risen and ascended Lord who died on the cross and was taken up to heaven to stand at the right hand of God, calls you children to do what's right, which means obeying your parents in the Lord for His sake. You need to remember that when you come up with all kinds of reasons why you think you don't need to obey. Well, I don't need to obey Dad because Dad's being unreasonable tonight. Or I don't need to obey because Mom is being unfair. Or I don't need to obey because I'm getting older and I know a better way than they do. Okay. Maybe some of those things are true. Maybe Dad is being unreasonable. Maybe Mom is being unfair. Maybe you do know a better way. Nevertheless, it is not right for you to disobey your parents. And that's for the simple reason that God calls you to obey them. And God does not put a qualifier behind it that says, children, obey your parents if they give you the instruction that you like. Or children, obey your parents as long as they are always fair in what they say. Or children, obey your parents as long as you agree with them. Nope. It just says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And this should also help you, children, if you ever are in a position where you have a dad or a mom who is being wicked, no child wants that, of course. Child may be very naughty, very argumentative, not very obedient at all, but no child who belongs to Jesus ever wants a dad or a mom who is wicked. And yet this does happen. And it doesn't just happen out there in the world where you have unbelieving fathers and mothers and unbelieving children, but it happens also in the church sometimes. What if dad and mom are giving you a bad example? A bad example by doing things that God clearly says are wrong, and you know it and they know it. What if dad and mom are telling you to do wicked things and saying, now you have to obey me and you have to listen to me because I'm your father and I'm your mother? What if dad and mom are hurting you? Not hurting you with a spanking when you are naughty, which the Word of God calls them to do, but I mean really hurting you in a way that you know is not biblical and not right. It's here that believing in Jesus is going to be very important for you, children. One of our Psalter numbers says this, "E'en though my father shall forsake, e'en though my mother's love shall break, the Lord will be my friend." And that's what you need to remember. It's not the way it's supposed to be. Children are supposed to have parents that they can rely on. That's why the apostle goes on to address fathers, and through fathers also mothers, "Provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." But even though my parents are not reliable, this is what we must see, children. The Lord is still my friend. And I want to do what's right before Him. And that still will always mean that you love and honor your parents for His sake. It will always mean that. But it might mean you need to look somewhere else for a good example of how to live as a Christian, and especially as a mature adult Christian. It might mean you need to disobey dad and mom if dad and mom tell you to do something that God clearly forbids. It might mean that you have to go to another adult and tell them about the ways that you are being sinfully hurt so that that other adult can step in and help you. And you are not dishonoring your parents when you do those things, children. What you are doing in that case is honoring them. You love and honor your parents most of all when you show them and you make clear to them that God is first and you love and honor Him before all. Those difficult circumstances are the exception, however. Ordinarily, the calling of the Lord Jesus is this: children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And do that in hope for the blessing. The blessing according to verse 3, is that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. What children may sometimes not understand, especially if children are inclined to be disobedient, is that their parents want things to go well with them. What parents want for their children is to see their children thriving and growing. What parents want for their children is to see their children learning skills and learning discipline and getting their feet on the ground. They want to see their children growing in grace and growing in the knowledge of God. They want their children to be prepared for life in general and for life as Christians, life in the church. And this is what informs the rules and the decisions and the discipline that they make for their children. When parents discipline their children, when parents make rules, even if those rules are hard to be obeyed and hard to follow, it's not just that parents are trying to be mean. No, it's because parents are adults and they see a bigger picture of life. And they want to help you who are young and inexperienced get to the point where they are, to grow and mature in life, but in the Lord and in the faith. And God has given you children, your parents, for that good purpose, to bring you up in the nurture and admonition of His name, to prepare you for life in general and to prepare you for life as Christians in the church. So obeying your parents in the Lord is really living in hope of the Lord's blessing on you. The Lord blesses you, children, by giving you parents who don't let you do whatever you want to do. The Lord blesses you, children, by giving you parents who make rules and who teach you good habits and hold you accountable to them. Don't fight against that. Don't buck against that. Receive it. Receive it in hope. Receive it in the hope that God is making you ready, ready for the day when you are going to leave father and mother, leave their home, and when not everything is going to be handed to you on a silver platter anymore, but you're going to have to make your own way and to live yourself before the face of God and in this world. Just think about what it would mean not to have parents. Just think about what it would mean not to have parents, even if your parents are, you think, too strict or too overbearing. There are many children in the world today who do not have parents. And let me tell you, it does not go well with them. And they do not live long in the land. Obeying your parents is living in hope that the Lord will bless you in the days of your life to come. Receive that as a gift. But it's also living in hope, not just for maturity and blessing in this life, but it's living in the hope of the eternal blessing of God your Father. That's why He says this is the first commandment with promise. What's the promise of God? Well, the promise of God is not just that it will go well with you in this life. The promise of God is life with Him in His covenant, His life in heaven ultimately. It's the life of freedom in Christ forever and ever. And that's ultimately why Jesus addresses this calling to you children in the church. Because the purpose of all of the training that you receive from your parents and from the church is not just to prepare you for life in this life, but the purpose of all of that training, all of the things that are taught to you, is so that you would know the Lord Jesus yourself and so that you would walk with Him by faith. So children, listen. Listen to your parents, yes, obey them. But listen to the calling of the Lord Jesus to you. Believe His word. Obey your parents in His name and for His sake. And live in hope for the blessing. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, we thank thee for the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, who calls to us, who laid down his life for us to give us hope, and who gives us also parents, parents who love us, parents who believe in him like we do. And we pray that thou give us as children a readiness to believe in the Lord, to believe his word, to obey our parents, and to live in hope. And we pray too, Father, for us as fathers and mothers, that as we hear the calling that the Lord gives to our children, that we may also understand the responsibility that this places upon us, and that we may live in fear before thy face, knowing that these children are not ours ultimately, but his. And that we may not provoke our children to wrath, but bring them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And that we may not, through our behavior and through our actions, present any obstacle that would come between our children and the Lord who bought them and purchased them through his blood. We pray, O Father, bless our homes and families, and build us all up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. For we are all children in thy sight, and thou art our Father. Send us away from thy house with thy blessing, and hear our prayer.